Welcome, everybody, to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're happy to be here. We are happy to have you with us. Some good conversation, some good beer, good times. We're all about it. Special treat this week. We have some special guests. We have Al Sharpton, the real Al Sharpton, with us today. Al, how are you doing?
Great. Fantastic, man. Thanks for having us, man.
Good, man. Good. Yes, that's Al's been on the show a few times. Local Atlanta writer, food critic, creative. Al, I don't even know what all to say about you, man. You get into a lot of fun stuff, correct?
You're doing great, sir.
Good, good, good. And we have Craig Stroud with us. Craig is a marketing guru. You're a marketing man, right, Craig?
I am. The guru part I don't know about, but
I threw that one in there, man.
There we go.
I have to give you props, brother.
I'll take it.
Good stuff. Well, we're going to be talking today. The big focus, and we'll get to whatever topics get to us. We're going to be talking about Ale Max and Ale Max Day. And this is sneakers and craft beer. And you know what? A couple of great things to pair together. And a big event coming up for a good cause. And it's just going to be an all-around good time. But I'm Tim Dennis. You probably know that. Brian Hewitt, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to this show.
Good stuff. And producer extraordinaire, Mo Mike Nate, how are you doing, sir?
Doing just fine. Thanks to be here.
Good, man. Good. Y'all, I'm going to tell on Nate today because it's okay to do this sometimes. He didn't feel like drinking today. So yep. Nate's not going to have a beer. He's just going to be hydrating. And as much as we love beer, we definitely support taking a breather.
I respect you. You got to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got to do it. You got to do it. And even if it's during a show, if it doesn't strike you, then pause. Put it on pause, guys. That's totally fine. Now, I'm going to jump a little bit ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about the beer a little bit, Al, or I'm going to let you talk about it. Because I've got one poured here, and we decided we'd hold a minute so we could all kind of enjoy them together, or all of us that have them. Brian, you'll get some soon. To try out. But I have in my hand a can of Ale Max 1. Ale has one, too. Craig, are you sipping Ale Max as well, sir? There we go.
Not a game with us. It's not a game.
Good stuff, man. So tell us about the beer, and we'll dive into all the other details, but what about the beer itself?
In terms of the style and stuff?
Tell us about the like, if it wasn't a special beer, if you're just telling us about any beer, what would you tell us?
I would tell you, Craig, you mind if I go first?
Yeah, go ahead, man. Jump in there.
I would tell you that Craig and I are hop heads. We've known each other for a long time, and he'll get more into that story. But we thought it would be fun to make something that's arguably the most popular style in the beer industry right now, all the way around, and that is in hazy IPA. I love my West Coast as well, but this is something him and I both enjoy. And it's really just a dope science where we talked about doing something that really can introduce some people who are naysayers to beer, as well as people who love IPAs, but kind of meet it right in the middle. And one of the best brewers in the world, Peter Kiley, definitely embraced our vision on what style it is. So it is a hazy IPA.
It's good. And we did, if you saw some of our social posts, we did think Peter was going to be with us tonight. But Peter's running around New Zealand right now. So he wouldn't be that far. Yeah, we'll have him join us some other time. But, you know, guys, I get, of course, I mean, this got Citra Cryo, Mosaic Incognito. Is that a hop or is that two hops there? Because I haven't heard this Incognito before.
Well, Peter wanted to introduce some new stuff. Go ahead, Craig, sir.
Okay.
Well, no, I was going to say, Peter said, you know, basically that is also kind of almost the ingredient X, right? If you start to think about it, it's Incognito, meaning that it's, you know, it's not the most prevalent hop in there.
Okay.
Gotcha. It's a little bit of a secret sauce, if you will.
Okay.
It is also a hop extract. So it may be that they're talking about Yakima Valley hops, Incognito hop extract of that hop. So
Mosaic Incognito, that's what that's called, Brian?
Incognito is a big brand name for hop extracts. And they do, yes, they have a Citra Incognito. They've got a Mosaic Incognito, but it may also be on the down low in there. It's in there, but it doesn't want you to necessarily know it's in there.
And we've got Nectaron, Cryo, Rowaka, and Strata hops in here. And L, I'd say this is a very approachable beer. You know, if you're getting someone that's maybe a sneakerhead and they're coming because of that side of it, this isn't going to scare them off You know, no. If you did a big West Coast, you probably have quite a few people that would turn their nose up at it. You know?
That's where a lot of the naysaying is rooted from. Yeah. Is this too hot forward? And this beer, I honestly just tried it today. I was out of town and had to do some things, but came back and I cracked it today. I'm going to crack it right now on air because it's that damn good. Craig and I agreed that we wanted something a little more just kind of in the middle, but very sippable and almost dangerously sessionable in terms of sipping and pleasing the palate, but not sessionable in ABV.
Right. Greg, this is where are we at? Where we landed on this one? This is a 8.91.
There's a slice of that. Tell them, Craig, why we have
Tell us
that.
About it, Craig.
Yeah.
So that's a more of a play on the initial year that they launched the Air Max one. It was 1987. So
okay,
simply the year slowed back. Yeah, flipped it. And so I think in all fairness, ale is definitely more West Coast. This was me pushing the needle to say we needed to play in the space that's more where I sit. I can bring them over to that space sometimes. But if you ask El what he would prefer to drink, it would be a West Coast. So we sat there with Peter and we had this conversation. I think he would agree because that is the IP of the day, you know, and I think it's really polarizing. There are a lot of people that are like pro or for, you know, or against it. This just happened to be the style that made the most sense. And we gave Peter a really ambiguous brief, right? We came up with some really sweet keywords that really started to key him in and allow him to then say, okay, this is the space that you guys want to play in. I can just go to my treasure chest of spaces and come up with something amazing. And so I was able to try the beer out of the tank last week before they canned it. And like, I did the Tiger Woods, like, oh, I was so stoked at the flavors, you know, and so then having it on out of the can just kind of made it all that much more appreciative.
They always taste really nice when you get a chance to try them out of the tank. It's like, you know, you're one of the first people to sample this and check it out. It's just fun, you know, to get them out there. Break out the pigtail, put a little in the tasting glass and have a good time with it. Yeah,
for sure.
Awesome.
Definitely.
Well, guys, backing up a little bit, we do want to give a shout out to an event we mentioned a couple weeks ago, Team Heidi. For the Giving Kitchen Atlanta. Elle, you were there. Brian, you attended with your wife. And Brian, tell us about your take on Team Heidi.
It was really impressive. Like, it was massive. Like, everybody who was anybody, all the best restaurants were there. We had tons of breweries representing, pouring beverages. Everybody had their A game on. I was eating, you know, oysters from Fishmonger, and I'm like, you had tables that were artistically spread, like completely covered with food and flowers, and I've never seen an event with food quite like it, and I've been to some really good events. It was impressive, and the turnout was great. It was a lot of fun. I can't say anything negative about it. It was just a great time. I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I would recommend. I think this is an annual thing. I would recommend doing it again next year if you have a chance, and it's for a good cause. So it's going to the Giving Kitchen to help food service workers in crisis. So
yeah. Now, you've been involved with Giving Kitchen for several years now, correct?
Yes. I'm kind of like a board member by this point, and I kind of help bring the beer kind of industry into it a little bit more. But I work with them for years, getting people who really have been displaced or something happened in the industry, or a brewery closed down or someone got hurt on the job. And we've been able to help a helping hand whenever we can, even like in North Carolina, other states. Now we're getting out there and helped out even people like, you know, you're happen a wooden robot, stuff like that. We instantly reached out to be like, yo, anything we can do. But yeah, it's Team Heidi is a great event every year. And overall, the Giving Kitchen is a super solid foundation that does a lot for people in the culinary and now beer industry.
And I do have some stats too that I gleaned from an email they sent out just today, that there were 1,370 guests, 213 volunteers, 98 food and beverage partners, and they raised over $1.25 million for food service workers.
That's awesome,
in crisis.
Man. That is
and I heard enough. I heard the auction at the end. People were bidding $50,000 on things, and they were like trips and whatnot. I'm like, oh, wow. There's a lot of money going on tonight. So
that's a good thing. That's, Yeah, I looked at some of the online auction items, and it's like $400 gift card to so-and-so restaurant, and the bid's like $750, $1,000, whatever, you know. So people are really just pulling it all out there. They had some amazing experiences, too, like private dinners with well-known chefs and tasting menus and all that. Just really cool all around. So, you know what? Some interesting info here we wanted to talk about. You guys know taste change. Different generations have different tastes. Things come and go. Even the preferred serving format for beer. Craig, what's your favorite serving format? Do you like cans, bottles, or draft?
Man, that's a good one. I think for the very hard to get, I'd probably say can, because usually the difficult stuff to get isn't on draft, right? And so I know if one of the friends are coming through a beer share with a can, it's usually of something good. But I guess there is something about the freshness, or, you know, sit back and you let a keg sit for, you know, a couple of weeks and then you have an IPA out of it. It's not bad. But I'd say between keg and can.
Okay. Okay. Al, how about you? What's your preference there?
Well, I'm IPA guy. So honestly, I if I have the opportunity to go draft, that's the freshest it's going to get. Assuming it wasn't sitting in a bar for years, but definitely a brewery would not pour an old IPA. And then I get to choose the glassware. So, you know what I mean? I'm going to see what they got, especially Teku, which is arguably my favorite style. But yeah, I'm going to go draft on that one. And then, like Craig said, can, because I can bring in a lot of places without the breakage.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to say that my preference, it kind of depends on the environment in the beer. So, you know, these big stouts, one of my favorites that I get fairly regularly is Black Tuesday from the brewery.
Oh yeah.
You know, this beer, you're talking 18, 19, up to 20% sometimes. I'm not going to sit down and you know, hit a tall boy of that. And I think they actually do put them out in tall boys now. It used to just,
oh man.
But I love for a Lambic or a Goose or a big stout or something like that to get a large format bottle, some nice glasses, sit down with a couple friends, pop the cork, and just the entire pomp and circumstance of it all there is a good time. But if I am drinking an IPA or even like a Pilsner or something like that, I do like draft. You know, give it to me fresh, as close to the source as possible. I think that a great example, Sweetwater IPA, fresh from the brewery, is still a phenomenal beer, and I think it's underrated today. I don't think people give that beer enough credit for being as good as it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Brian, how about you? What's your preference?
It does kind of depend, but yeah, if we're talking Saison, we're talking Lambic, anything special like that, especially if it's not super high gravity, the cork and cage green bottle, 750 ml bottle is still like the best way, in my opinion. Absolutely. I prefer it that way over any other format. I'd like to get if an IPA is on draft, it's probably fresh. The chances are really good. The problem with cans, and I do like cans, they're easier to store. They fit in the fridge better. I do like them a fair amount. Most breweries, let's be honest, don't put any kind of born-on date on them. So you have no idea how fresh they are. And they may have been sitting on a warm shelf for months before you got them, or for weeks before you got them. Either way, they're not going to be as good. It's hard to gauge. So it really depends on the beer in question, maybe the event. If there's formality involved, I want large bottle, large format, cork and cage, freshness on tap, and anything else, I don't really mind bottles or cans. I just stout seems a little weird to me. And getting a stout in a can, but I'm getting used to it. That still feels like a bottle thing, whereas IPA feels like a can thing. But So I'm all over the place with it.
Honestly. I will say this.
That one can that used to deliver and they don't make it more is that Oscar Blues 1050. I got that in a can, that's a big stout, right? But when you get it in a can and you're like, okay, I remember scooping up the last few cans at Krog Street a couple of years ago when they had it before that last run. I was like, man, I'm just gonna sit on these, and start trying to sit on them for a while. I'm like, I'm not gonna sit on these for too long. And that's
drink for cellar.
Yeah.
That's great. You mentioned 1050 in the can. It's funny to think that was it Old Chub, I think, or maybe Dale's was the first craft beer in a can, and really started the canned craft movement. And people weren't on board with it at first. No. You know, the hardcore beer drinkers were not about having beer in cans. It was, you know, bottles meant quality at the time that they put that in the can. Kind of interesting stuff. So, Nate, what's your preference?
You like before I say something, you guys, I have a little surprise for Craig.
Ooh, oh, look at that. Look at He's got a four-pack of the 10-50s there. He said, bring them over. Bring them over.
I remember you were talking about earlier, so we're going to celebrate after our two events, brother.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think really it depends on the style. You know, the Lambic, the Grisette, the Big Boy Stout. I've always really enjoyed them out of a bottle. But I do agree, being able to get that IPA as fresh as possible, draft is the way to go. Over on Instagram, guys, we've got a whole lot of shout outs for ale. I've got Hip Hop Brews.
Yes, sir.
Shouting you out. Ian McNeil Brown. Meat Assassin. Thanks, Meat Assassin.
Meat Assassin.
And Mr. Cliff.
Mr. Cliff. Yep. Best rappers in the world right there. Aircraft.
Heck yeah.
So Meat Assassin said that Sergeant Hansel Pepperoni would appreciate a shout out.
He's a dog guy.
I think that's one of his Joshes. Yes. So cheers to Sergeant Hansel.
Hey, Kid Lewis, everybody, man. Everybody's joined. Coach, Reg, everybody.
Good stuff.
Thank you for supporting us, man. It's a beautiful community out there, man, and we love y'all.
Yeah, Kit Lewis says Dell's was an excellent rollout. Fan of the can there. It's interesting. Very interesting that wasn't that long ago in the grand scheme of things, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, American craft in the grand scheme still is we're youngins here, but interesting. But so the stats on this, it varies a lot by age, which is interesting. Like I said, each group seems to have their own preferences. There's a fairly good chunk in each, varying between like 15 and 18% that say they don't care. Just give them their beer and they'll be happy. But on the overall, draft seems to be most popular across all age groups. But you have the cans, the younger drinkers, the 21 to 34s, more of them prefer the cans. And then, you know, in a bottle, they have it actually looks like maybe, you know, the 21 to 34 year olds, they want their cans and bottles. The old dudes, the over 55 crowd, draft, you know, pretty overwhelmingly there. 60 plus percent said they have the preference for draft.
Peter Kiley just jumped on.
Did he?
Peter Kiley
from the New Zealand.
Oh, is he over in on Instagram? That's right. See, yes, Peter. So Peter can check in and watch us, but Peter, you're supposed to be in the studio with us right now.
I sent him a text asking him where we're at. Yeah.
On the show.
He's actually talking about New Zealand hops right now. This is his last day over there.
So this is it. Yeah.
Environments.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, guys, let's move along. We're going to talk about some of the other beers we're going to drink. We've got a few on deck here. Really, Brian, I think mostly you have a few on deck. I'm good with my L Max here, but it looks like you pre-gamed with a little vintage, a little Anchor Steam there. So you found a six-pack recently and probably one of the last few that you'll find around there. And then a very cool collaboration, Creature Comforts and All Our Culture Brewing, Seeds Take Up the Soil, which is a sweet potato ale with sorghum, vanilla, and spices.
Fire.
And then from Monday Night Brewing, you have a Super Blind Pirate, which is a blood orange IPA. And of course, myself, L. Sharpton, and Craig are sipping this L Max 1 today, which is really nice. So those are our beers of the week. Y'all, before we move along, we want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, our friends. You know, the guys at Terrapin, Taproom Atlanta have supported us. We definitely appreciate it. They were one of the participants in the Team Heidi event there, making sure that everybody stayed hydrated. Brian, I think you got a chance to sit and hang out with them for a while. And they did get a special beer for the event there. So always cool stuff. Always something new and fun at the Taproom there at Terrapin Brewery Atlanta. And really, it's just Truist Park is kind of a cool place. They got a lot of stuff happening over there. You can go hang out. Get some barbecue in the tap room there with Fox Brothers Barbecue. Find out the new stuff that Terrapin has on tap. Tell them the beer guys sent you. A lot of them may have no idea who you're talking about. But if you catch Mark or one of those guys, they'll be like, oh, yeah, those guys are great. So, but thank you so much to Terrapin Brewery Atlanta.
I don't know if you've heard, but spring is officially here. That means patio season is here or on the way, depending on which day it is. Do you know where you can go enjoy patio weather and some quality craft beer? Of course you do. Truck and Tap. At this point, this is when I usually go location by location, give you my beer pick for each spot. But this week, I'm going to go easy with picking nothing but side pull taps. And really, I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing right now than drinking a crisp beer off a side pull tap and enjoying some occasional spring weather. You know, occasional, sometimes not spring. But depending on which location you head to, Woodstock, Alpharetta, Duluth, or Lawrenceville, it means you're either getting Berry House's Big Pluckin' Pilsner or Blue Jacket's Love Cat Pils. That's two German Pilsners, one featuring Noble Hops and the other Laurel Hops, respectively. So two great choices. So go out there, enjoy some good beers and the great weather while we have it. And thank you to Truck and Tap for your support. You can tell them the beer guy sent you. They have signs up in each of their locations. So
they will know. Yes. So Peter Kiley said that he is currently running through some hop fields over in New Zealand and he wishes he could be here. I don't believe that part of it.
Yeah.
I do believe he's running through hop fields there, but good stuff, Peter. Get some good hops there, man. Make some more good beers.
Whatever the inspiration is, man, this beer, honestly, I know we're going to go into the tasting notes of it, but it's really, very, very, very happy. I know Craig is. Yeah. Hey, Craig teased me. He called me and told me, oh, man, this beer's fire. Knowing I was out of town, I'm going to get him back for that.
That's what you got to do. You got to do it when you can, man. You got to do it. So, guys, speaking of the beer, the project, everything, Craig, tell us how LMAX came to be. Kind of what inspired the project and just the overview of what it's about.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about, you know, the craft beer space here in Atlanta, it's very multidimensional, super diverse, and it's continued to grow in that space. And, you know, we always like to shout out or give our friend, you know, his flowers because Ale's been doing this thing in this space for like decades now. And, you know, not even trying to age him, but decades. And that definitely deserves huge kudos. I think over the years, a lot of our friends, you know, our contemporaries have started to dip their toes into various endeavors around the craft beer space. And I think there was always this idea that I wanted to do it as well. Some of our really close friends, Brandon and Swerve, shout out to Drought Season. They dipped their toes into the more of the clothing line and lifestyle space. I think about 3 years ago, and all my friends were asking me as a marketer, you know, are you going to do something? Do you want to do something? And I felt like I needed to find something that was authentically my voice. And so as I started to go and continue to go to, you know, different breweries, you know, the music was there, check. Started to see more people that look like me there, check. But there just seemed to be a disconnect or at least an outage, right? And there just felt like there was something else that we might be able to add to the mix. And I just had this idea around the sneaker culture and craft beer culture and how there are a ton of parallels, right? And I was amazed and fascinated by how many there were. And so I said, you know, let's give this thing a go. And so pulled together a plan probably a month before, 3/26 of last year, got with Ale and said, hey, I need you to help me roll this out. You know, you've got the voice. People will come. I've got the vision. I've got the plan. And so we partner with Inner Voice. Shout out to Rhett and the boys and Paul and the guys over there who make killer IPAs, right? And more importantly, Rhett is an avid sneakerhead that wears a lot of Air Max. And that being my favorite shoe, Air Max One of all times, it just made perfect sense to partner with them to do year one. And so bring those two cultures together. I think it went better than expected because you just didn't know what you were going to get, right? You knew you would get some of the craft beer community coming out, sneaker community, you know, you just didn't know, right? Because it can be pretty finicky. But we did enough upfront, like pushes on social media. And I think we had a really good mix. We sold out of the beer, the day of, sold out of some, you know, quick, fast T-shirts that we wanted to produce just to kind of to commemorate the space. And, got to work and thinking about what year two could be, because that was more what I like to call a proof of concept. And if that went well, I figured that we would look to do this and maybe scale it to other markets.
That was actually going to be my next question, is are you looking to expand it from there? Because it sounds like something that, I mean, you need to hit LA, right? LA, New York, those places with the bringing beer and sneakers together. Creature Conference is waiting for you out in LA. They'll get you hooked up out there. If you want to do
something. Yeah, we definitely want to look to, I guess year one, proof of concept. Year two is starting to slowly but surely scale what this could look like. And I don't know that you could ramp up or do a better job with than looking for partners than, you know, our guys at Monday Night and Bearded Irish. Like, I think that's like, I mean, that's going from, I mean, that's a really big jump, because now we're talking about going from, you know, a brewery and our guys that do amazing beer, but then looking at what amazing beer looks like at scale, right? And that's a very big different, that's a very different ballgame.
You could do something like Black is Beautiful and some other ones done, where you come up with the base recipe and invite others to do their inspiration on it there. So make it a big thing like that. That would be fun. So now a question is Nike involved with this or aware or just inspired by right now?
This is at the moment just inspiration. We've done our homework. You know, we've got some trademarks in place to cover off on certain things. And, you know, just in looking at, you know, the landscape, there are quite a few Air Max parties or Air Max themed events that Nike is not technically a part of.
Right.
And for us, this was really more about a culture play, right? This is, you know, if I think about a Venn diagram, or I think about like the things that get me excited and saying, you know, what are we trying to like tie into here? It's sneaker, beer, and community. And I think that's like a trinity, you know, because, you know, they're two communities that are very, you know, separate. But then again, they're really not that separate, because like all of my friends are like sneakerheads. Like there's not too many times that I don't run into L and I'm looking to see what's on his feet. Right. I'm like,
Likewise, brother. Likewise. We always say the rest.
There's that. And then there's the infamous thread that, you know, our wives don't know about, where we're talking about and plotting the next pair of sneakers to bring into the house. And the wife's already looking at me like, dude, there's like way too many sneakers in this house. Like, you need to get rid of some of them, you know? So,
I would say luckily it's not like the glass deal that we have in my house, where whatever glass I bring in, I got to swap one out. It's not like that with sneakers. Thank goodness.
Got to move them along. So, yeah. Now, Craig, do you keep all your sneakers? I've seen guys that they're more about get this pair, get another pair, sell this pair, get this pair, you know, just the whole moving and shaking of it. It's okay. All right. Confession, guys. I was a sneakerhead for like 2 months.
Okay. Oh, 2 months?
And I quit because, one, I wear a size 13 wide. It's pretty hard to get a lot of sneakers in a 13 wide. And some would say just buy one size up, and then I'd feel like I'm wearing water skis. And then some would say, well, get you some shoe stretchers and do this. And I just never found any that it just didn't work right, like people were claiming it did. So, and I found myself watching the sneakers app for when the next drop was coming, and they would sell out in 2.3 seconds. And I'm like, no, I've done this with cigars. I've done this with beer. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. But, you know, I did get a few pair before I just totally gave up on it. And I've got, let's see, I had to write them down, guys, because I forgot exactly what all I had. But so I do have some Air Force Ones, Air Force 107s, the black with the white trim. And I have two pairs of those, two brand new pairs, almost never worn. And here's the story with that. I ordered the pair directly from Nike. And like 2 weeks later, I hadn't got them. So I messaged them. They're like, we're so sorry. We're going to send them to you. Now we're going to reship you another overnight. So they did, got them, all good. Like 5 months later, a Beat to Hell box shows up, and it's the first pair they'd sent of those. So I got those. I got some Adidas Ultra Boosts. And here's another thing, guys. I am horrible at knowing what is currently cool. Like, I'm not good at that at all, because I got the Ultra Boosts and I love them. I love them. They're the Louisville Cardinals, the black, red, white set. Mm-hmm. And then the internet told me that Ultra Boosts weren't cool anymore. So I'm like, okay, well, I was a year behind on these. I got some ASICS gels that I was also told weren't cool anymore. So yeah. I gave up, guys.
Those are cool.
Those are cool. Okay, see.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm kind of cool, man. I'm kind of cool. So
let the internet tell you everything, right?
Really? Yeah, it's horrible, man. People are so and you know, I can't just say it's sneakers because I saw a post. There's this Belgian beer group on Facebook, and a guy posted a pic of his beer fridge, like a mini fridge, and he said, just ignore the bottom shelf. Y'all, these guys ripped that guy to pieces in the comments about there's only one good beer in there. The rest are trash. You should throw them away. I'm like, guys, you don't have to. He's not making you drink them, you know? So,
hey, TD, I would say just always embrace a classic kick where it will never go out of style. Just have one of those in your selection and you will never go wrong. And then, you know, you'll be good.
I think that's one of the things I really liked about like the Air Force Ones. It's a simple black on white sneaker. It's a classic. It's nothing crazy. It's not like those, I forget what were Kanye's shoes that looked ridiculous. The
Yeezy Boost and the
Yeezy Boost. Yeah. And I saw I so those to me. Right as I got out of the sneakerhead game after my 2 months of passionately following, they came out with these boots that were like these red bubble boots looking things. Do you guys have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah. They almost look like Astro Boy.
Yes, they did. They did. And I'm or, like, you know what?
iPad. I mean,
they did look like AirPods. Yes, they did. iPhones.
Oh. You got those?
And no, that was the point where I'm like, you know what? This is ridiculous. Good. And for that good reason, for I'm good out. Decision,
I would probably echo L's sentiment in terms of finding something classic, but I probably would even take that a step further and treat it like you would treat beer. Drink what you like, wear what you like. It is essentially that. I think that all of this plays into another parallel between sneaker culture and beer culture. Their style and creativity. We all talk about this holy grail beer that we once had or the sneaker that we saw, right? They're the touted brewers and the touted designers, the collaborations, the folklore, the regional influences. I think all of these things influence, you know, what's happening in both. Let's think about the regional. Regional is driving like the beer culture. It drives what happens in sneaker culture. I think what happens is then the big box, you know, brands pick up on the momentum and the ripple effect that trickles out from these markets. And they try to repurpose, rebottle it, repackage it. Think about this. You said that you said you weren't standing in line. You weren't going to get on an app, sneakers app. Imagine that that's happening in the beer community, too. Like for every line that you might have seen, you know, a bunch of kids lined up in front of Wish and Little Five at one point in the last several years, you might have saw some adults lined up. You know, adult kids lined up at Little Cottage for, you know, a stout release or something.
Yeah. I've been in those lines.
It happens. It's just about, you know, where do you want to spend your time?
That's it. And, you know, I think it's just as a generality, I'm kind of beyond that. You know, I don't want to chase in that, you know, Brian and I seriously used to find out the routes of beer delivery trucks to get these super allocated beers. I remember, L, I'm sure you do, Craig, you probably do as well, when Bourbon County Stout came to Georgia. Man. And
that's right.
These places were limiting it to single bottles in some places. And I think I spent about 4 hours driving around and ended up with three bottles of this beer. And at the time, I was thrilled that I'd spent half a day and got three bottles.
It was like a treasure. It was a treasure hunt.
It was, man. And you know what? It was
a hop slam. That whole thing with hop slam too.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. For sure. Yeah. For sure. But then I've waited outside. You know, I was in the line for See the Stars at Creature Comforts. Yep. That was the first Georgia's first hype release. I've been down to Hunapu. I was at Hunapu's day the year they ran out and slammed the doors in people's face. You know,
I got another one for you. Pliny the Younger.
I gotta get on that one, Al. Yeah,
people still wait in line for that, right? I mean, that's still I would probably still wait in line for that, but I'd have to actually be there. Like once you're there, you might as well.
Yeah. I had a coworker text me recently. She lives in San Diego. And it was Brian. We were out at playing pinball there at 10 Pin. And she messaged me, and she likes beer, but she's not necessarily a beer nerd. But she went out to a local bar in San Diego, and she's like, "Hey, I thought you'd appreciate this. We're out here and we tried a couple of beers from Russian River that they told me are pretty rare." And I'm like, "Don't tell me it's Pliny the Younger." And right as I was typing that, she's like, "One's called Pliny the Younger." I was like, "Yes, of course it is." So, you know, yeah. That's one that I haven't tried as of yet. But
I found a place in LA that had both similar situations. Yeah. It was out there, you know, a couple of years ago, and I had both. And I mean, I'm still more elder than younger. So
I'm an elder guy.
Yeah. That, you know what? I've heard people that, you know, they've got Blind Pig. Is there other IPA? And there's people that are like, you know what? Pliny's overrated. Blind Pig doesn't get enough love. It's, you know, this and that. But Craig, it really goes back to wear, drink, eat, do what you like. You're not hurting anybody else. You're not forcing anybody else to do anything. So we had a buddy that used to come over here when we were homebrewing all the time and bottle sharing. And every time he came over, he'd bring him a 12-pack of Bud Light. And he's like, "Guys, I'm sorry. I just really love Bud Light." I'm like, "Dude, that's totally fine. If that's what you enjoy," he's like, "your strong beers always get me too drunk." He's like, "I can sip on a few of these throughout the day." I'm like, "Dude, come hang with us and drink your Bud Light. That's totally fine. You know, if that's what
it's real. Do you? So, I have a lot of friends like that.
Do you? Absolutely, man.
You know what's crazy about sneakers is I never realized that was a thing to collect until much later. I heard people were collecting, and that was way beyond it. Because I had a lot of Nikes in my day, a lot of Reeboks in my day, some Airwalks. I really like those. And I even was able to go with a friend to the Nike store in Portland, like the employee Nike store. And I picked up a pair or two that we're talking like 15 years ago. I still have them. They're still in actually really good condition. And I just, like, I've worn them a few times, but I realized they're too pretty to wear. I never fully got into, you know, like collecting, but
that's probably for the best. That's a good point. It's like some people We'll buy the shoes and just let them sit. Others like, "Hell, I bought them. I'm going to wear them." I wear most of mine, but there's certain ones like the De La Soul Dunks. I'm not wearing those ever. I was lucky to score those, and I'm just going to just have those. It's like I'm a hip hop head too. Craig's hip hop head. That's another thing that brought us together. Our love for music. He's from Detroit, and Detroit is one of the best hip hop cities in the world. So we always talk about that as well. So yeah, that whole representation of hip hop too is really big. And we have a great DJ who's spinning for both our events here and in Nashville. Shout to Sean Fallion, who's going to be murdering it as well. So we embracing all of our cultures together, man. And Craig really came up with a great idea of what we love already, our passions, and kind of bringing it all together. So it's going to be exciting, and I really look forward to y'all coming. Atlanta is an incredible city. It's one of the most diverse, if not the diverse, for beer community. And we've done so many events here in the past. I've done so many events, and it's just Atlanta's vibe. It's all about no crabs in a bucket. We're all about love. So it's going to be incredible.
We've got a pretty awesome beer scene here, don't we?
It's nuts. Mean,
it's really something, you know, you go out, the tap rooms are fairly diverse depending on where you go, and that we've got some amazing Black-owned breweries here. And yep. I think it's just cool to see the melting pot of craft and, you know, like I said, the culture in general here. You know, there's just a lot of good things that everybody can bring to it.
Yeah, Lantucky and Hip and Hops, two of the first Black brick and mortar owned ones. And then the leaders of the Brew School, a great collective that all works together. And like he said earlier, Craig talked about drought season. There's just so many great communities, Crafted for Action. We're all working together to make the beer scene so incredible. And we're going to continue to build on that.
That's awesome, man. Now, I want to ask you guys, I think I have some British Knights and some Ruse from like 1985. That was the last time I was really into it. You know, the shoe ain't nothing without the BK button. I believe that is the way they say it.
I looked up the value on mine, and it looks like they've been selling on eBay for about $40 or $50 a pair. So mine are not super special.
Yeah. No.
You got to wear them.
Yeah.
You got to wear them. You got to drink them, right? You sit on them too long, the beer is going to go bad. It's not, I mean, every can is not canned, or, you know, every bottle is not bottled in a way that you can sit on it like wine. But I think it really all just comes down to what your preference is. And, you know, I prefer to drink them and wear them. Like I'm similar to L. I'm not going to sit on any, I'm not going to sit on too many pairs of sneakers. I mean, you know, you wear them, you know, and.
I noticed Craig said, I'm not going to sit on any. And then he thought, he's like, well, he's like, not too many.
I'm going to sit on a few.
Yeah. L mentioned his De La Soul Dunks. What's that pair for you, Craig?
I don't currently have a pair that I'm just going to sit on like that, okay. But there are certain pairs that I'll probably bring out for a special occasion. Like I don't consider myself a collector. That is a very specific group. Right. I just consider myself one that loves the freshest sneakers and, you know, the freshest beer. So I want to be at the forefront of where that's happening. But if I had a Holy Grail pair of like De La Dunks, I probably wouldn't wear them either, but I wouldn't wear them anymore because at the time I would have worn them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just respect to that group. And, you know, it's just, that's the homies right there. So
that's, I mean, when I was looking, I forget what it was, but I saw some, I don't remember the sneaker guys, but a guy did one like inspired by Newport or something like that. The mint
green and white
cigarettes. Yeah. But they're like, he got sued and they this and that and da da da. But it was a, you know, this anyhow, it was something that just like anything, I think if you get into it, you know, before I got into craft beer, I didn't realize craft beer was a thing, you know, that people were passionate about. Guys, yeah. I'm currently into tinned seafood, or as the Portuguese call them, conservas, you know, and there is a subreddit for canned sardines where people talk about these elite fancy sardines that they get, you know. So everything out there has a niche fan base to it, you know. Brian and I have went around Atlanta finding restaurants that serve the high end tins of tiny fish. You know,
I need that list.
We'll get you, man. We'll hook you up, Craig. They got some good stuff. Yeah, Brian got a can on the desk right there.
So. Yeah, I've got some packaging left behind. Yeah. These are pretty good. Yeah. Something you get in like is it a Fresh Market or a Whole Foods? I don't remember which.
Both. Yeah, I think pricey. Both of them carry that. But yeah, guys, it's something, you know, whether it's sneakers, whether it's craft beer, whether it's tinned seafood, it's art. There's people that collect pencils. You know,
yes,
you know, things like that. So
I've gone down the rabbit hole a bit, and there are very specific people about certain varieties of pencils that were discontinued that are brought back, and
yeah,
there are people that are just uptight about how I'm like, pencils, really? Yeah, apparently.
What's the name of a bottle collector? Like a beer bottle collector? There's some name for that too.
Brewery-ana. Brewery-ana.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, empty bottles.
I don't have, yes, usually empty. And I did find, so interesting tidbit there, Craig, like cans, the collectors will punch them from the bottom.
Yeah.
And because the can being empty doesn't impact the value for the collector. And I've got, my collection is seriously like four bottles right now, but I do have one, all Georgia beer, but I have one from like the 1890s, from like the 1940s and that. So I've got one from Dogwood Ale, a bottle of Dogwood.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Those are the homies, man.
Yeah. So like I said,
Bach was awesome that they had.
Mine was a holiday ale that they, well, you know what? When we drank that beer, when SB 63 passed, we had Nancy Palmer on the show, and me and Nancy and Aaron and Brian cracked that Dogwood. I think it was like
2004.
Yeah, so maybe right at 20 years, I think, when we got into it.
An old library in the best possible way. I think that was
that's the way Nancy described it.
Yeah, description of it. And that's about right. Yeah.
Nancy, the former executive of the Georgia Craft Brewers Guild.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But y'all, it's a good time. So I tell you what, but before we run out of time here, we want to talk about LMAX Day and the events going around that. L, you mentioned a DJ there, you know, kicking that off. What can people expect of the events? Now, the big event is the 22nd, Friday the 22nd at Monday Night Brewing. That's kind of the kickoff for everything.
At Garage.
Right? Mm-hmm. Garage. Monday Night Garage in Atlanta, Georgia. But are you? Do I see correctly? You've got events kind of through the weekend. Is that right?
No, we have. Because we've got, so we kick off with Monday night at the garage. And then we shift our our focus up north to Nashville with Bearded Iris. And
all right.
I'd be remiss if I'm glad we were like starting to segue into this, because obviously we're making two killer beers, right? And you know, the guys at Bearded Iris are they have their spin on the hazy IPA, right? And it's funny, we started talking about the West Coast, and the guys are playing in that space of a hazy homage to all of the West Coast classics, right? Playing with those old school hops and really trying to dial that up. So I think between the two, you're going to see a really distinctive difference in flavors while they still take on a hoppy, hazy profile.
Good stuff, man.
Yep.
Good
it was stuff. Really a fun experience awesome. To talk to the different brewmasters about where we were going with it and stuff. So
yeah.
Shout out to everyone who's been a part of it, man. Craig and I had our plan, and we sat together and rapped about it and talked about what notes we would love. And I can't wait to even try the Bearded Iris one. But this one that we have here in Atlanta with Monday Night is fantastic. There's notes of melon. It's a little bit on the sweeter side. Yeah, right. And you said it would be a great segue for people who might not enjoy beer.
I get orange, this like sweet orange, but also a little bit of like bitter grapefruit in it too. So kind of a double citrus on that. Some floral notes, like you said, melon and such. But this is nice. I mean, that's my kind of beer. Brian, I know you like your West Coast. Brian plays both sides. He's
I would do both. Yeah. East
or West, but I'm about this. Guys, you know, I'm going to really quickly rewind to cans of fish. Do you know they also have vintage cellar fish, cellar sardines? Interesting. So I bought a can from an online site, a 2018. The brand is Ferrigno, a French sardine maker. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, guys, they were phenomenal. Vintage 5-year-old.
Wait, is that like a black market or is it just
no?
Like...
So these are, you know what?
It's interesting,
guy. I tell you what, I get way off on a tangent here. We got Classic Rod on Instagram just said Fishwife. So he's shouting out Fishwife.
Right, I think he's responding to my box of Fishwife fly fishing.
This could be something I could go way into, but they do release vintages of some of these sardines. Like they'll say Saison 2021 for this one, you know, and people can do them. But we won't derail this too much with tin fish because I could do that. But it's interesting that even something like cans of sardines has a culture, a community, collectors. Vintage and all of this around.
Is there a sardine share coming up that we need to know about?
I tried to organize one, Al, and I couldn't get enough interest, man.
I think we should do this. And it doesn't have to be sardines. It can be mackerel. There's a cod. Okay. I've got tins of cod that are quite nice.
Octopus.
Stuff.
Yeah. It's a nice anchovies and all that. So, you know, Al, a nice Saison or a Pilsner or something. And some,
the pairing is what's dope about the beer. You know, right. We can geek out on that. One other thing that Craig and I wanted to make sure we noted was what's different about this year than last year is we're giving back to community. We're going far and beyond in terms of working with Paw Kids. Craig, you could talk a little bit about Paw Kids. And then we also have Gateway Center, which is really helps the displaced. And so we're asking people to donate gently used sneakers when they come to the event. And Gateway Center will be there to collect them. And show love. And that's another way to give back. So we're doing everything we can to show Atlanta we love them.
Good stuff.
And there might be a little gift with anybody who brings those sneakers in. Maybe a ticket to sip the Ale Max when they come
good
through.
Good stuff, man. An awesome trade.
I could just, you know, make quick reference because I now I've got a close affiliation working with Peter and the team over at Paw Kids. And, you know, what the Italian Gray is doing over there is amazing. Really helping underprivileged, you know, people in the community on the West Side. He's got some really rad board members, including Peter, including myself now, and Killer Mike. And I think it's just a really good opportunity to give back to these underserved communities that, you know, are lacking resources. So the one cool thing we're doing is a percentage of the sales is going back to Paw Kids in the form of funds for sneakers, right? Because, you know, in these communities, definitely going to be some kids that are not in the sneaker game or not even so much trying to get the best sneakers, but just having a really quality pair of sneakers. And so while, you know, I think we're covering both sides of the gamut, right? With the sneaker drive with Gateway, that's given back to, you know, either, you know, temporarily homeless or those that you know, or without shelter. And those that are just in need of a hand, those lightly used sneakers are going to come in handy. And then you got those other individuals over at PawKids that, you know, a new pair is just going to make their day and really maybe just, you know, really build confidence and, you know, just people without any time we can give back. I think that's just, that's pretty dope. Pretty dope.
And I think people need, you know, if you've always had what you needed there, you know, you don't realize it. Like you said, that new pair of sneakers or something, it's especially when you're a kid, that's important.
Yeah, you know, it is.
As an adult, you get to a point where, you know what, you still want to look good when you go out. Even as an adult, you know, like Craig, you said, you know, when I see Al, I'm seeing what, you know, what's on his feet there. What's he wearing? You know, check it out, looking nice. But as a kid, it's crucial because kids are brutal. And you know what? As an adult, if someone tells me my sneakers are ugly and pokes fun, I'll be like, whatever, you know, that's all right. But kids, I mean, it can be brutal. So, you know, being able to have something nice and new is important, more so than just having clothes to put on.
I think it's important.
Kids without the internet.
If they're going to school, you don't want them, you want to free their mind up from feeling bad about how they look or worrying about how they look. If they got some solid shoes on, feeling good about that, they're going to focus on learning what they need to learn in school or do whatever they need to do to get by. You need to
speak, Brian.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Feed them, clothe them, let them learn. Right?
If you're looking bad, you're thinking about I'm looking bad and not paying attention to what's going on around you. If you're looking all right, you're paying attention to what's going on around you. So,
Our
boy Juan said you're a confidence boost with a pair of new kicks. And it's true. You get that new pair of sneakers you want to wear. You start running. Maybe you're a little kid. You start running after you got the new pair of sneakers. You like
ready. You were fast.
You made me faster.
You're faster.
Right. Spring loaded. Yeah.
Yep. Of course you were. Yeah. So, Al, a few minutes left here, man. I know you're in a lot of stuff. Anything else you want folks to know about right now?
Just really looking forward to making Al Max a success. Craig and I put a lot of work in, and this guy is a workaholic. It's been an ongoing enjoyment working with this brother. And then after this, CBC, and then a lot of other – you'll find out other things
Craft
that are going
Brewers
on.
Craft Brewers Conference. CBC is Craft Brewers Conference,
right? So that's going to be in Vegas. Yep. And then doing an event with a National Black Brewers Association, which is going to be really awesome. So we're going to do some big things with that. And that's something you all need to look at, too.
Good deal. Al, if people want to keep up with what you're up to, where can they do that?
Instagram. And right now I have a lot of Al Max on there on purpose to let them know about this great event coming up in both Atlanta and in Nashville. But Instagram, Real Al Sharpton. Thanks for asking. That's really the best move for me.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Craig, how about you? Anything else you want folks to know about?
Yeah. You know, really, if you're in town in Atlanta or Nashville, definitely come out and enjoy the event. Come by and purchase a 4-pack. Cans are limited, similar to sneaker releases. So we say, you know, come by, get a 4-pack, drink 3, keep 1. They then start to turn into mementos or keepsakes. You know, I've got one of my cans from last year.
That's right,
nice,
baby.
Nice. Okay.
Display. And so, you know, we think that they'll have some level of collectability over the years, just to say that you were at one of the first ones, because this will scale. Our ambition is multiple markets here in the States next year, as well as looking at some abroad, just because the sneaker and beer communities abroad are pretty crazy too. We target in, you know, the UK and the Netherlands as two spots of ambition. So we'll see how that works out. And if people want to catch up with the movement, they can follow lmax.official.
Instagram, on Instagram for that. Lmax.official. Good stuff.
It's important to note, though, that the cans are different. Atlanta's is going to have a different can than it will be at Beer Iris in Nashville.
It's all about the
different colors. Different colors, man. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Definitely a play on the sneaker community. The sneaker community and sneaker launches, right? You wouldn't launch the same sneaker colorway in two locations on different days. You know, you might do it simultaneously. But a lot of this is just playing on the different riffs within the sneaker culture. And if you look closely at the can, which we didn't get into, but there are a lot of little intricate details that speak to those that are in the know. And there's a bit of surprise and delight for those that aren't. So buy a can, talk to some friends about sneaker culture, and I'm sure you'll learn something.
We've got a nice pick of both sides of the can on our Instagram right now. Beer
Thank
Guys
you for
Radio.
The support, so guys.
Check that out. You Thank bet. You for sure. Check them out. And I'm sure we'll have some more pictures going around. Again, LMAX Day is Friday the 22nd. If you're catching this podcast Saturday when it released, you missed the big launch party. But go down there and see if they got some more beer for you. See if you can get your hands on some of this LMAX. One, so 7 to 11 mm-hmm. on Friday the 22nd.
Monday Night Garage, the garage.
Monday Night Garage, Monday Night yeah. Garage Atlanta, Georgia, for the LMAX launch party.
Good or stuff. If you're hearing it on Saturday, drive up to Nashville and go
That's
to the.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people doing that.
Yeah,
we've got a contingent driving up in the morning, and we're aptly calling it the. The LMAX 1000, just kind of a play on Cannonball Run.
Oh, right? Yes.
And there's two locations. We will be at Bearded Iris Sylvan Supply,
That's right.
The newer of the two locations. So if you go to Germantown, you're going to miss us. And you may miss out on the beer and cans.
And
so
nobody wants that. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants it.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us, sharing info. L, good to see you as always. Craig, a pleasure meeting you and chatting with you. And enjoyed the beer very much.
Shout out to Brandon, awesome. the brewmaster at Bearded Iris 2.
Bearded Iris. Cheers to Brandon. Good stuff. Yep. Well, y'all, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. We really appreciate you hanging out with us here. If you like what we do, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Patreon gets cool perks and Beer Guys swag. And we'll give you a link to the session for the after party from our live stream every week. But we hope you have a good time. Go check out LMAX Day. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.